Before we read the Word of God, I wonder if you've ever struggled with a problem. I know I have, and maybe many of you have. You've gotten a gift that you don't want. Anybody experienced that? Might be a tie that you don't think anything goes with it. Something else. It's just not wanted. When we first got married, well, we only got married once. when we were first married, my wife was teaching special education to visually impaired and handicapped children. And one of the families found out that we were religious, so they gave us this garish picture of the Lord. We couldn't hide it quick enough. And we're grateful for the thought, but you know, and when we left that apartment and went up to the first pastorate, we got rid of it somewhere. I don't know, but God's given you a gift this morning, and if you're like most people, even if you're a believer, you don't want the gift. It's the gift that no one wants. Now, you know, I heard, and I was in class, your intern was teaching the class and watching a Sproul tape. And the pastor on there was teaching about the sovereignty of God, you know. And I'm sure most of you here really love when you get to Ephesians chapter 2. And you know, you'll tell any Arminian or anybody between here and Calvinism, oh, by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. And you go, even faith is a gift. Can I get an amen? Oh, you're quasi-Presbyterians, okay? Okay, so we go, yes, all right, faith, even faith and salvation is a gift from God. Well, now let me read our text. And it's Philippians chapter 1. And I'm sure you don't remember, but I preached on the first part of this when I was here last time for communion a couple months ago. And I'm going to read it again from this other version, 27 through 30, chapter 1 of Philippians. Remember, Paul's writing this from prison, and he's saying, I'm so excited, I couldn't have paid to get into this place. People are coming to Christ. People are just preaching the gospel to get me upset, but that's okay. Christ is being preached. I just want you to know that you Philippians, I'm just so thrilled because you've participated with me in the gospel from that first day right up until now. And he says this, let me emphasize one thing. Live as a citizen of God's kingdom in a worthy manner to the good news about Christ so that whether I come and see you or continue to be absent, I may hear this sort of thing about you. That you are standing firm in one spirit, struggling shoulder to shoulder with one soul for the faith of the good news, and not terrified by anything that your enemies may do. This is to them evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that it comes from God. Here's our text this morning. You were given the privilege for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same struggle that you saw and now hear to be mine. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider this word, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes right down into our hearts and exposes us for what we really are. Not only sinners who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as we'll celebrate communion and we rejoice in this, but you also have given us something that we don't like, and that is the privilege of suffering with Jesus Christ. Help us to grasp that this morning, and as we come to the communion table, we might come weeping for joy because you have given us this gift, the gift of suffering with and for Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. The last time I pointed out, if you look at verses 27 and 28, let me read it again. Let me emphasize one thing. Live as a citizen of God's kingdom in a manner that is appropriate to the good news about Christ, so that whether I come or see you or continue to be absent, Paul says, whether I'm in prison, under house arrest, or whether I get there, which I expect to do, I want to hear this, and let's fill in. Providence PCA of Robinson Township. This is what your missionaries, and now you support missionaries, and this is what they want to hear about you. What they want to hear about you is that there is what? One Spirit. You're all agreed for one thing. We're here for Jesus Christ. We're not here to look good. We're not here to sell insurance. We're not here just to get a husband or wife. We're not here just for our own purposes. We're here for what? One purpose, which is to see the triune God and the Son, Jesus Christ, exalted in Robinson Township, so that people who are going to hell can hear the good news about Jesus Christ. That you are what? Of one Spirit, what? Shoulder to shoulder. One fighting unit. I might say this, this is another sermon for another time. It's not just Mitch who's in the military, who is going through chaplaincy. You are a military unit. This township, this town that worships its sports teams, you know, Pittsburgh has been described as what? A drinking town with a sports problem. Okay? That's us burgers, okay? Us burgers, you know, we worship. You go down to the cathedral at Heinz Field. That's the heart and soul of Pittsburgh, okay? They're worshiping sports. In fact, everyone's schizophrenic now. They don't know, the Pirates are still winning. But, of course, there's another half of the season, and you're all believing they're going to tank, right? Okay? Okay, so that's the heart and soul. So look, what? Pittsburgh wants you to go to hell worshiping the Steelers. It wants you to set your mind on the world instead of eternity. And friends, eternity's coming. You may look at me. First happened to me. We were at a wedding yesterday. I know I'm getting old. I'm sitting with all the groomsmen, right? And I said, why aren't you with the bridesmaids? Oh, we're all shot. Anyway, okay, that's another story. So I'm sitting there, my wife and I, and one guy goes, are you retired? I know, I must be getting old. No one's ever asked me if I was retired before. I'm a little depressed today. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so here we are. We all have an appointment with God. We're going to die. And you young kids look at me and say, you probably sooner, and you're probably right. But we're all going to die. Why? Is God having a bad eternal hair day? No. We're going to die because we're rebels against God. And the wages of sin is death. And this community doesn't want to think about that. And if they want to be religious, all they want to think is, okay, we're religious enough to buy God off with a few whatevers. And God wants you to have one purpose, winning Robinson Township in Pittsburgh for Christ. And you have to be a fighting unit, okay? And what? Not scared. Are times getting tough? Yes, they are, friends. And your pastors and myself, I may die before that, but we may end up in jail for hate crimes. Because if we simply preach through the Bible, the community is going to say, you guys are wicked. You guys are ugly. You're full of hate. You're despicable because you think that X, Y, or Z behavior is sinful. Well, it's what God says. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And the world wants to spit on you as it did on Jesus Christ. And so you must be a fighting unit that what? Stands shoulder to shoulder and what? Not frightened by anything that the world can do to you. I'll never forget, I wasn't converted at the time, but I went to visit my aunt who was a missionary in Italy, and I remember standing in the Colosseum and getting this weird feeling, even though I wasn't yet saved. I said, they used to feed people down there to the lions. I remember two things. One, it didn't look like I thought it was going to look, and then people used to cheer at sporting events here when people used to get eaten by lions. And that day may soon come as our brothers and sisters all over. How do you need to respond? Not terrified by anything. Think about that. Most people don't talk about this in evangelism courses, right? Here's a great tool for evangelism. When you're getting ready to get killed, don't be afraid. And that'll tell them why. You're going to be saved and they're going to be condemned. So whether it's someone who puts a knife to your throat and say, confess that Allah is God and that Muhammad is his prophet, or whatever other form it may come, whether it's here in a public school, and they want to tell you that God did not create you. I'll tell you another story. It's one of my best memories. I was in sixth grade, and I was standing, it's public school in Philadelphia, and they read the Bible then and prayed before classes. Can you imagine that? I mean, I am old, okay? And I'm standing at the board, and there's my mother, my little mother, never made it to 5 foot, okay? There's my mother in the doorway, and she motions to the teacher, who was almost 6 feet tall, a woman, red hair, big Irish woman, and went out in the hall, and I thought, oh, man, I'm toast. Mom's here, you know, then she gets in the door, and she motions to me. Now, I'm sweating bullets at this point. I go out in the hallway, and there's my little mom and the big teacher. She says, see this woman? This is your teacher. You don't obey her, and when you come home, you're going to get a spanking that you'll never forget. But when she tells you that God didn't create the world and make you, don't listen to her. Now, go back in the classroom. That's my mother. She's with the Lord now. You see, I had written a little essay about God creating the world, and I got flunked because the teacher said God didn't create the world, it evolved. Now, my mom wasn't afraid of her or anybody else except God. See, that's a testimony to why. And now that's what we said last time. Now, here's the gift that nobody wants. You were given the privilege for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. No, thank you, Father. That's a great gift, but here, you give that to the martyrs. You give that to our missionaries. Give that to our pastors. That's why we pay them the big bucks, okay? Let them suffer, okay? Let them go to jail for believing that sexual sin. And by the way, you know, it's not just that we're against homosexuality. We're against what all some of you do, too. You know, the fornication, pornography, and all the other stuff. It's all on the list. It's all wrong. You're going to suffer for taking that stand just to believe that God made you and you didn't evolve, or that you have to be sexually pure, or you can't steal. I mean, that really upsets the government. You know, the old bumper sticker. You know? Don't steal. The government doesn't like competition. Seriously, I heard on a talk radio, we were out in California, and Dennis Prager, who's an Orthodox Jew, some of you may have heard of him, he was laughing. He said, I can't believe this. This is wonderful to get persecuted for this. He says, somebody just said this horrible thing about me. That I really believe that the Ten Commandments should be followed. Can you imagine that? Someone thinks that I'm a nut for saying that the Ten Commandments. Now, poor Dennis Prager doesn't realize without Jesus, you can't follow the Ten Commandments. So he needs to have the God who gave the Ten Commandments, the Savior who died and shed his blood so that we who break the Ten Commandments can be forgiven. But see, all that's what? You've been given the privilege. Now, we're going to come to the communion table. And all this is really just a meditation, you know, for communion. What are we going to be celebrating? What are we going to be celebrating? That God, the triune God, the second person of the Godhead, actually became a man, dove into the womb, as it were, of the Virgin Mary, and became human, except for sin. And interestingly, not in a strong body like Adam when he was first created, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, so Jesus could get sick, he could die just like you and me, but no sin. So He comes incarnate to what? Fulfill the law perfectly so that someone like you or me would not have to go to hell for their sins. Now that's amazing. Now we love that, right? But here's the intriguing thing. Paul is saying to the Philippians and to you here at Providence PCA, if you're united to Christ, and praise God, that's what communion says, you're united to Him by the Holy Spirit. If you're united to Christ, guess what? You get the whole package. Right? So you don't get Him as Savior without getting Him as Lord, and you don't get all His blood and all of His righteousness without the bad press that the world gives. So the world right now wants to flip you and me off because we believe that Jesus Christ is God, and not only believe that, they think that's okay. Just keep that in private. See, that's the way it used to be. All the sexual sins and the wicked stuff, that you keep that. Now comes out of the closet, and now what? Who gets stuffed in the closet? You and me. Because we believe that you have to be righteous. So you are given the privilege for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer His sake. And that's the point. God's given you a gift. And when He hands you communion today, He hands you the Savior. But with the Savior comes what? Suffering. Think about it. Isn't that exactly what we're celebrating? Jesus Christ didn't come to go to Sunday school picnics or to go to church dinners. You know, in our Reformed circles, that's the closest we get to miracles, okay? We feed 5,000 because you always go to church meals and all this food shows up, you know, and everyone gets overweight by it, okay? Bottom line is, we are here because we have a suffering Savior. And so God's grace gives that. So, if I could put it this way, what's the gift of God? Himself. But the gift comes nailed to a cross. If Christ is the gift, it's wrapped in suffering. Two things should really hit you today. How great your sin is. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can cover your sins. Nothing. Nothing can get you into heaven except His righteousness. Nothing. There's no other way. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's your hope. So if you're a believer today, I'll even make it early, okay? If you're a believer in a Bible-believing Protestant church and you're not under discipline, you don't have to be a member of Providence. I mean, I don't. I'm not a member, right? I'm going to be given communion, so I couldn't even take it. You know, I'm a member of another Bible-believing practicing church. That's the entrance to the Lord's Supper. Because when you eat the body, you drink the blood, what are you saying? I believe Jesus became incarnate for me so that He could live a perfect life. Now again, I'll do the whole communion meditation now. Originally, the bread was unleavened bread. You know why? Any kids know why it was unleavened bread, no yeast? You know? They were in a hurry. Very good. That was one of the reasons. God says, hey, you don't have time for the rolls to rise here. Okay. That's a good one. And that's part of it. But even before that, it was part of why? Why was it? What meal were they eating at that point? Passover. Okay. Yes? No, communion comes out of Passover, okay? It was the Passover meal. Remember the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's in the middle of doing what? You know, passing out the Passover meal, you know? And the what's being cooked? Roasted lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So the Old Covenant, here it is, the Old Covenant meal, and it's unleavened bread. Why? Because it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread that they celebrated the Passover. Now, what was the leaven a symbol of in the Old Testament? Sin. So every Jew, and even today when they do Pesach, they go through the house and they take every leaven, all the leaven out, which represents what? Sinlessness. There's no sin. There's no yeast of sin in the life of Jesus Christ. And then the blood is shed, right? And where does it go? Right? On the side posts and lintel of the door. Okay? And the blood is sprinkled there, which is the representative of the fruit of the vine. And what happened? The angel of the Lord. Now, this is so ironic. Who's the angel of the Lord? It's Jesus. If you know your Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is a special angel. He's really not just an angel. He's Jehovah God. And so Jesus Christ comes in Passover, this representation, and he sees the blood on the door, the blood of a physical lamb that points forward to his own blood, and he goes, "This blood is my blood. I pass over the house." And guess what? The firstborn doesn't die. See, that's what this is all about. And when you identify with Jesus, you not only get the goods where he doesn't send you to hell, you can't be ashamed of him. That's another thing that I have to confess. There are times, I know about you, but there's times when I've kept my mouth shut when I should have opened it. Often I open it when I should keep it shut. But the times I'm thinking of is when I have an opportunity to point someone to Jesus Christ. You see, that's the point. You were given the privilege for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same struggle that you saw and now here to be mine. Remember who Paul's writing this? What happened in Philippi? Remember what happened in Philippi when he was first there? For the wonderful, joyful, kind thing of casting out a demon of a possessed girl, he ended up where? In jail. Because the owners of this girl were pimping her, spiritual pimping, because she would say things and they would make money and, hey, no demon. Our money's gone. We're really ticked at Paul and Silas. So they end up in where? Jail. And guess what? Probably reading this letter or hearing this letter is the Philippian jailer and his family and other people in that congregation. Lydia, remember the purple? So, and maybe even the girl that had the demon cast out. They're hearing this. And he's saying, "You saw that suffering that put me in jail. And that's where I am again." Someone speculated once, and I thought it was a good speculation. The Apostle Paul could have never got a church in the PCA or the OPC. With his rap sheet, you know, with the jail time that he had done, you know, and all the stuff that he had gone through, you know, oh, man, that he's got too big a mouth. We don't want him up in the pulpit there, man. It might offend Robinson Township. But that was the Apostle Paul. And you know what he said? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Everything I used to have, I count it like garbage, that I might have one thing, Christ and Christ alone. Is that you this morning? You come to the communion table saying, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your Christ I cling. Father, I come. Now, they tell you never to do this, and I think it is a good principle, never to read some stuff. Long quotes bore people. But this was so good, I have to. This is a little book, and I'll end with this. This is called Voices from the Past. Only a Presbyterian in the middle of a sermon would push a book, right? Puritan devotional readings, Voices from the Past. And Richard Rushing has taken some of the best Puritans, put them together, and summed them down. And this is from Thomas Case, Select Works, A Treatise of Afflictions. And this was yesterday's meditation, July 6th. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Our own sufferings give us a partial insight into the sufferings of Christ Jesus. In our prosperity, we pass by the cross. The story of Christ's passion stirs our hearts for him, but the pity and passion are quickly gone. But let God pinch our flesh with some sore affliction, fill our bones with pain, set us on fire with a burning fever. Let our feet be hurt in stocks, and iron enters our souls. We look upon him they have pierced and say, if the chips of the cross are this heavy, what was the cross itself? If my bodily pains are so bitter, what were the agonies the Lord sustained in his soul? If the wrath of man is so piercing, what must the wrath of God be? Is it a heart-piercing affliction to be deserted by friends? What was it then for the Son of God's love to be deserted by his Father? Is a chain so heavy, a prison so loathsome, and the sentence of death so dreadful? Oh, what was it for him who made heaven and earth to be bound, mocked, abused, spit upon, buffeted, reviled, cast into prison, arraigned, condemned, and executed in a most shameful and accursed manner? Oh, what was it for him to endure all the contradictions of sinners, the rage of the devil, and wrath of God, to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Blessed be God. My prison is not hell. My burnings are not unquenchable flames. My cup is not filled with wrath, and I am delivered from the wrath to come. By our sharing the remainders of his cross, which he has bequeathed to us as a legacy. It's an amazing line, isn't it? By our sharing the remainders of his cross, which he has bequeathed to us as a legacy, may we come in some measure to understand the sufferings of Christ, or at least by comparing our sufferings of such vast disproportion to his, we're able to guess at what we cannot understand. Can you understand communion? I can't. The righteous for the unrighteous. The just for the unjust. The obedient for the disobedient. The loving for the hard-hearted. If you're here outside of Christ today, why wouldn't you want to exchange your righteousness and your self-dependency for depending on this Savior. And if you're here today as a child of God, I think you and I need to be like that woman. Remember the woman? The immoral woman? She came to Jesus Christ. And she wept and washed his feet with her tears. And then she took her hair and wiped his feet, the feet that were going to be nailed to the cross. See, and you're either one or the other. You're either like that woman today, or you're like the Pharisee Simon. What's up? If this guy was really a prophet, he wouldn't let this vile, filthy woman even touch him. Oh, I guess there's probably a third category, right? The disciples sitting there. It's all going over their head. They don't get it. May God make us like that woman to weep over our Savior as we come to his cross, represented in the broken body and blood of the Savior. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's good to bear the name Christian. Christ is the gift. He's wrapped in blood, nailed to the cross. Never forget your suffering Savior and the gift of suffering with and for him. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this table, we pray that you would bless us through this preaching of the word. As we come now, Lord, to the institution and celebration of the Lord's Supper after singing, we pray, Lord God, that we will remember it's not only given to us to believe, but to suffer with the saints of all ages. In Christ's name, amen. Let's sing.